to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Back at it at Wake Up Call here on Sports Map Radio. Sean Devaney is going to be joining us from Heavy.com on a progressive guest line. We talked to him about the Eastern Conference Finals, and of course the Western Conference Finals can be wrapped up tonight. Again on a progressive guest line, Sean Devaney, Heavy.com on the NBA. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Good. Let's get to the East. Let's get to last night's game. It's a 20-point win for Boston. It wasn't even that close. Yet this series seems to me that it is dominating, 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 and dominating. There seems to be this sort of roller coaster trend that we've got in these four games. Is there anything that we can take out of these dominating performances? Because they don't seem to carry over to the next game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that you have two teams that when they're on their game, they execute very well. They can play smothering defense. What I've seen in these games is it has a snowball effect on the other team. So one team comes out hot, one team comes out cold, and then the cold team just kind of tries to force its way back into the game, you know, with individual play and jacking up three-pointers and things that aren't really going to get you back into the game. I think that because these are very good teams, both are very well coached. I just think that once you get that snowball rolling, it seems like the team that's down has a really hard, other than the Celtics there in that game three, the team that's down has a really hard time, rallying and getting back into the game.
Has there been a team in these four games, either one, Miami or Boston, that has played better overall despite some of the lopsided nature of these games?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Celtics, and this has been discussed often on Twitter here, but, you know, the Celtics have won, you know, however many quarters out of this series, whether it's, I think it was 13 or something like that. But when they've collapsed, they've really collapsed hard, and it's been too much for them to cope with and to come back from. But if you're just looking overall, who's played better? I think the Celtics, Miami and Boston are pretty well matched defensively. They're both very, very good defensive teams. You'd have to put them even there. I think the Celtics are a much better offensive team at their best than Miami is. And I think that's really the difference here. And that's why the Celtics should win this thing. If you've got two evenly matched defenses and one team that's clearly better offensively, then the team that's clearly better offensively should win. And right now they're tied, and the Celtics, obviously, that's not where they want to be, but they still look like the better team to me at this point.
All right, let's go to the West tonight. Golden State could wrap this thing up with a four-game sweep over the Dallas Mavericks, and let's get to Dallas for a second. That was a very good series against Phoenix after those first two games to win four out of the next five, and there was a lot of euphoria within that team on how they did it, and I no doubt about it, the way they dominated Game 7. But now they're facing a Golden State team that has their number, and they just haven't been able to get a game in this series. That being said, how does Dallas move forward with Luka Doncic? What are some things that they can do to make that team better around him?
Yeah, I think they need a little more scoring, a little more consistency. I think the presumption, and when you talk to GMs around the league, the presumption was that they were going to, go star hunting in the off season. I'm not sure that's going to be necessarily the case. I think they're really going to, look at what Spencer Dinwiddie has been able to do as he's gotten healthy and gotten better within that organization. You know, he came in the February trade. As he's gotten better, certainly we've seen the blossoming of Jalen Brunson. They have his rights; they can keep him. This summer he's going to be a free agent. So I think with those two guys, I think Dallas feels a little bit better about things. I think they need to clear up the middle. They've got to really, Dwight Powell's not a long-term answer there. So I think that's where their focus is going to be, is get a decent two-way center. Get a guy who can help you offensively. Doesn't have to score 20 points a game, but a guy who can give you, 12, 15 points and still be a rim protector. I think that's where Dallas is going to look next. Just improving the depth, really. But I think that the idea that they're going to go hunting for a second star to put next to Luka Doncic, I think that this season has probably laid that to rest.
All right, as far as Golden State, this is kind of another iteration of this team that came along in 2015, and then they had Kevin Durant. Now they don't have Kevin Durant. Now they got Jordan Poole. That being said, for those people out there that have watched this team in different forms over the last 8 years, how is this team different than the other teams, just in the way they play and the way they conduct business?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously they've got to rely on their depth more than they have in the past. You know, that's something that that's definitely a concern for them. Is you know, they've got to, when you've got Klay Thompson coming off of the 2 years of injury, and Steph Curry at 33, and Draymond Green haven't dealt with injuries, you've got to rely on Otto Porter at times, or you mentioned Jordan Poole, of course. You know, you've got to be able to rely on those guys. We've seen some big games from Andrew Wiggins as well. So they're a lot more like that 2015 team, you know, with Harrison Barnes and where Andre Iguodala really was sort of at his peak. They're a lot more like that 2015 team. They're not the Kevin Durant Warriors. So this is a team that's got to scramble a little bit for everything. I think the one consistent thing is that for them to be at their best, they have to play elite-level defense. That's what they did all throughout that run. Everybody remembers three-pointers. Everybody remembers Steph and Klay and Kevin Durant. But it was defense always. That's how that team went to five straight finals. And this team, you know, really didn't play great defense at the start of the playoffs, but they've really been coming around on that end. And that's where they have to win.
So much of their past has been being the best team in the West and then playing LeBron James in the finals. This would be a three seed going up against two teams in Miami and Boston that are very, very good as well. How different is that look for a finals than in the past when they were clearly the best team, but they were also going up against the best player?
Yeah, and I think that the thing you have to remember is that you know, when they had Kevin Durant, obviously it's a much different story. You know, the one series you know, where they the Cavaliers lost Kyrie Irving in game one, that was the 2015 series. Don't forget, Kyrie Irving got hurt his knee in that game one, and the Cavaliers were never the same, and that certainly helped the Warriors win that series. And you know, then Kyrie comes back at 2016, and that's when the Warriors, despite being 73-9, they lose, and then they go get Kevin Durant. So, you know, this team is much closer to that 2015-2016, you know, where they could lose. You know, I mean, they're not going into they're not a juggernaut here. And you look at the matchups. I think the Boston matchups are not very favorable for the Warriors. Might match up better against the Heat, who struggle to score. But you know, both of those series, you have to go in thinking they're at least even, or the Eastern Conference team might actually be favorites. I think certainly Boston would, and Miami might even be a favorite, if not, it'd be even.
Overall, since the playoffs began, including the play-in games and whatnot, how is the basketball? Because it looks, there's a lot of blowouts, but like you said, sometimes teams get in a blowout situation where they're trying to claw back into the game and they do some things outside, you know, hitting more, going for more three-pointers. Games just get away from teams, and that's just the way it is. Overall, though, how has been the playoffs in terms of the way the quality of basketball is?
Yeah, you know, I think the blowouts are unfortunate, because I think coming into these two series, you know, really things have been going pretty well for the NBA. You know, that I think you had to like the fact that Luka had the breakthrough, and that he's still playing here late in May for the first time in his career, and he's a potential future superstar. You know, I think the Warriors are obviously older guys, but I think having them back on the stage, you know, a team that had been so popular with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, I think that's been good for the league. And I think you really see, you know, whether it's Giannis, you know, you see sort of the next generations of stars really playing well in this postseason. So the blowouts have been sort of unfortunate, because I think, you know, Jason Tatum, obviously the way he's played, we saw Bam Adebayo in that game three. You know, these are the younger, this is the next generation. The NBA is not going to have LeBron forever, as we've seen. So you really need that next generation to start stepping up. And I think we've seen that. You know, I think the blowouts have taken a little bit of the air out of that, just because they're tough games to watch at some point. But you know, also I think that if I'm Adam Silver, I'm encouraged by the fact that my young stars have played so well.
I'm going to close it out with a question on a team not in the playoffs. That's the Lakers. The coaching opportunity there, it's been, there's all sorts of names, from assistants that have never been a head coach to Juwan Howard is coming in, and Terry Stotts coming back and being a head coach. Where do you think that position is? Where is that job? I mean, it would be one of a premier jobs, so it doesn't feel that way today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why they're looking at who they're looking at. You know, I mean, there's still a thought that maybe they'll make a push for Doc Rivers at some point, and that could still happen, but I doubt it. I think they're looking at trying to find a guy who's the right fit. You know, Darvin Ham is probably the leader at this point, but you know, there's other names out there. Kenny Atkinson is certainly somebody, you know, who was a head coach and has a lot of credibility around the league. You know, I think Adrian Griffin is a name to keep an eye on too, who's kind of a dark horse. He did interview for that position. He worked with Russell Westbrook for a few years. I think that's a real key here. He worked with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City, got along with him. You know, he's kind of a tough guy. Nobody's going to put one over on him. So yeah, you know, I think that might be a name to look out for as well. But as it stands, if you had to pick somebody, I think you'd have to go with Darvin Ham, but it still seems to be somewhat of an open process at this point.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I hope we get you on again soon. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks, Tony.
Sean Devaney of Heavy.com on the NBA. Good stuff, especially on the Lakers. The Lakers job is really interesting because it's, you would think that it would be like, it's the Lakers get, but you know, teams, no matter how, what their logo is, right? No matter what their history is. And again, the Lakers, even though they didn't make the playoffs and LeBron James is on that team, and you know that that's an organization that is committed to winning. They'll find a way to get back into it. They'll find a way to be relevant again. Some people are like, I don't know if that's a good job for me. I don't know. You know, LeBron runs through coaches and I don't know if that setup is right. It's definitely got an interesting perception in 2022 than I think it's had in quite some time. All right, Tony D, Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.